Before I start talking, let's just pray. Let's bring this time of God's word to us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will reveal your truth to us. Give me the words that will be helpful to these folk here this morning. Lord, you know each individual who's here, and we pray that they will indeed be blessed by the worship here this morning and by my words, Lord. So please direct and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this morning we're talking about peacemaking, and you should find that, I was reminded by Sandy the other week, that actually a peacemaker in Scotland will be somebody who makes sandwiches, because in Scotland they call sandwiches pieces. But I'm sorry to disappoint you, this morning there's no sandwiches. So, the passage that we're looking at today is from Matthew chapter 5. It's verse 9, and it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Now, we're going to be looking at how and the best way that we can act as peacemakers. But I've got a very short video clip here that will show you how not to be a peacemaker. All right? Have you ever seen that clip before? Brian Clough, manager of Derby County and Nottingham Forest. He was a very direct sort of person, not a very humble person. And you'll see that part of my talk this morning, we're going to be looking at humility as being part of what we need to be a peacemaker. And Brian Clough was perhaps not the most effective peacemaker. And maybe you come here this morning and maybe you're struggling. There's some issues with peace that you need resolution with. I don't know. I mean, it may be that there's a long-standing dispute within your family or with friends or maybe even with your neighbour about their hedge or something of that nature. I don't know. Or it may be that you're angry at God. If you come here this morning and you feel that you're not at peace with God. And so I want to maybe look at some things that might help us to understand how we can find peace with God and how we can find peace with those around us. So, if you want to be a peacemaker, I've got three things that I'm suggesting that you need to try and do. You need to move towards the trouble, you need to give up your rights, and you need to love before you are loved. Now, I haven't just plucked these out of the air, these ideas. I think these are ones that Jesus demonstrates for us most powerfully, that these are three things that we can do to be peacemakers, because he did it himself by bringing peace for us. Now, if we can have the next slide, I've got a dripping tap here. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had a problem with a drip somewhere. No? Anybody had any problems with their plumbing at home with a drip? Yeah? And has there been a drip somewhere that you haven't been aware of? And it's drip, 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 and it might be in behind a washing machine or something like that, or maybe up in the airing cupboard or something of that nature. And then if you leave it and you don't deal with it, you find the ceiling comes down or something of that nature. Yeah? A drip, drip, drip. And there's an important principle here. With a drip, I think if we move to the next, that's it. You've got to recognise that you've got a problem. And if you don't know there's a drip there, you don't know you've got a problem. We've got to recognise that there's a problem. And so if there's an issue with somebody, you've got to try and deal with it. Because if you don't, it could cause problems. Now, the danger is, if we go to the next slide, there's a passage there from Jeremiah that says, "Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace." You can ignore the problem. Pretend that it's not there. So if you've got a problem with somebody, you can try and pretend, actually, it'll go away. I'm just ignoring it. It'll go away. That can be dangerous. Because as we said, if you've got a dripping tap, that might not go away. And it may be the attitude, well, anything for a quiet life. But actually, it's important that you get on, and as that next slide says, deal with it early. Now, do you recognise the picture there? Whereabouts is that? Anybody remember? Whaley Bridge, yep. And they had a little bit of a problem, didn't they? They realised that there was a crack in the dam and that they needed to do something about it. And if they'd have left it and not done anything, there would have been big consequences for the people living in Whaley Bridge. So we need to make sure that we deal with it, and as if we can, deal with it as early as possible. And in Proverbs chapter 17, it says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So it might be that actually, in your head, you think, I'm going to sort this thing out, I'm going to speak to this person, but actually, we're encouraged here to drop it. And it may be that rather than starting a quarrel and upsetting the peace, that you need to just bite your lip. And we'll talk a bit more about that later on. Now, where there are disputes, and we've seen around the world there are a number of conflicts and different things going on, and there's almost this sort of brinkmanship that goes on. When there's one party, one country maybe, or another country that's at dispute with another, there's almost this area of brinkmanship. Who's going to blink first? Who's going to give in? Who's going to give way? Who's going to be the one that looks as though they've been defeated? Who's going to be humiliated? So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to see, if you feel comfortable doing this, there's maybe somebody sat next to you that you know, to see when I say go, to stare at each other and to see who blinks first. You can have a go at doing that. There's some pretty serious brinkmanship going on here. I think my dad here and Graham. Oh, and these two over here at it as well. But there's almost this sort of I'm not going to give in. It's a position of pride. It's a position that I don't want to concede. I don't want to give up. And actually, we need to be prepared. If we're going to be peacemakers, we need to be prepared to take a step towards peace. Now, in Romans chapter 1, oh, we're looking at this. Take a step towards peace. And it, oh, yes, that slide here has reminded me. The Cuban Missile Crisis that took place in 1963. I was only very, 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 very young then, of course. That was where there was this huge standoff between the United States and the USSR, and there was this element of brinkmanship. Who would pull back? They were almost on the edge of nuclear war. Who would pull back? Who would give in? And diplomacy, peacemaking, was a way that they were able to resolve that issue by conceding in certain areas. But I would like to suggest to you that if you are in a position of conflicting with somebody, that maybe there's a step, some way, something you can find that you can put into place that will ease the tension. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, if your enemy is hungry, 12, verse 20, beg your pardon, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. So there is something there that says, actually, if you can identify something that your enemy needs and you can give them to that, that might help them understand and be more willing to open up and have a better partnership with you and deal with the problem that might be there between the two of you to make the peace. So what can you do, what can I do to reduce the tension when there are situations when we need to try and find peace? We need to take that first step. And the Bible tells us, when we look at the next verse, that actually, when we look at what Jesus did as our example, the Bible tells us that, but God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took the first step to deal with the problem, the separation, the rebellion of man against God. He took the first step to deal with it. And that's our example, that we should be prepared to take that first step. So if we go to the next slide, it tells us that we need to give up our rights. I've got my rights. We need to show restraint. We're living in a day and age where everybody has their own view and they believe that they have the right for self-expression. I'm going to let them have it. I told them, I'm going to give them what for. I've got this, people think they have this desire and this urge to share what they're thinking and feeling all the time, regardless of how it might make the other person feel. So we need to show restraint. Now, I don't know, does anybody know this character I've got up on the screen here? Anybody recognise this look? Zippo, yes. And he's shown quite a lot of restraint with his zip. And sometimes we need to be careful that we need to zip it as well. And actually, it's very easy to say things on the spur of the moment that we often regret. And so sometimes we need to zip it. Because those words, those things can often inflame situations if we're not careful what we say. We've already talked in our series about the tongue, how dangerous the tongue is. And it's very easy for us to say the wrong thing. So we have to be careful and show restraint. So if we look at the verse that we've got here that supports that, it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I remember somebody teaching me, or in some management training course, we were told, well, you've got two ears and one mouth, that should mean you listen twice as much as you speak. But at the moment, it's probably quite good that I don't just listen, because I'm your listening to me, so I need to speak. So, be prepared to give up your rights. Now, what does that mean? What do you think that might mean? Can we click to the next slide? It means you have to trust the injustice that you suffered to God. And it might be that something's happened to you that makes you very cross, that's put you at odds with somebody. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to know how to deal with that. But sometimes we just have to trust what's happened to us to God. And it may be that something's happened to us, to a family member, or something of that nature. And again here, Jesus sets us the example when we look at the next passage that we're going to see here, the text that comes up. When Jesus had been tried and they were whipping him and insulting him, the passage here in 1 Peter 2 says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He could have come back at them. He could have threatened them. He could have used his power, but he didn't. He trusted what was happening to him, to his Heavenly Father. And sometimes there's things that we feel that we're being dealt with unjustly or unfairly. But we need to look to God, because we know that we can trust our own lives into his capable and loving hands. So we go to the next slide. Would you be encouraged to love before being loved? And I've mentioned that slide in the text before about where it says that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What greater expression of God's love for us that he was prepared to give his son for us? And we need to aim for humility when we're dealing in conflict, not humiliation. Trying to give our enemy or our opponent an opportunity to concede without losing face or self-esteem. And we talked about, I talked earlier about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And when that was over, apparently John F. Kennedy, who was the President of the United States at the time, said to all of his cabinet, his team, he said, if you're providing any statements in press conferences, do not talk about what has happened, the outcome, as a victory. We do not want to humiliate our enemy in this instance. We want to be able to maintain contact with them, to maintain communication with them. Do not humiliate them by calling this a victory. That was one of the things that he stipulated. And when Christ came into this world, he didn't come in to humiliate us. He came into this world to lift us up. Not to push us down, but to lift us up and to make us sons and daughters of the Most High. If we look at Philippians 2 verse 8, it says that God, it says, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God, this is talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus had every right to be in heaven at the Father's right hand. But he gave up that. He humbled himself. He came alongside us. Still God, but fully man, and understanding all the issues that we have to face. Sadness, death, anger, hatred, betrayal. All those things he faced, and he understands them. Because he became one of us, he humbled himself. Not so that we would be humiliated, so that we would be lifted up to a place of blessing. So we go to the next slide. So the challenge is to us is if we want to be a peacemaker, we do need to move towards the trouble. We need to give up our rights. We need to love before we are being loved. Not easy always to do those things, because it takes courage, it takes boldness, it takes patience. And just to sum up, if we go through to the next slide, to move towards the problem, we need to recognize the problem, not ignore it. Deal with it early, so that drip, 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 don't let that drip keep on going on, because it will bring the ceiling down. And take a step towards peace. Be bold, be courageous. Give up your rights. So show restraint, your right to speak, and trust your injustices to God. And finally, love before you are loved. Aim at humility, not humiliation. And these are all demonstrated most clearly for us by Christ. If we go back to the previous slide, can go back, that's it, thank you. God recognized that there was a problem, sin, that separated man from himself, that rebellion of man. God recognized the problem, and he put a plan in place, and that plan was to send his son Jesus. That was the step he took towards making peace with us, towards making us again his children, making us into the creation that he intended us to be. He gave up his rights, as I said earlier, in his right to be seated at God's right hand. Jesus came into this world, and that he trusted the injustices that he suffered at the hands of his own creation. He entrusted that to God, knowing that it was through that he would bring about peace. He would show his love and demonstrate his love. And he did that, as we've already mentioned, by being humble and coming and taking that position. That position of love. If we go through to the next slide, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. And when we can know peace with God, we can know who we truly are, because God has a plan for each one of us. And if you don't know Christ as your Saviour, God has a plan for you. And when you come to know him, when you have been restored, the peace has been restored with God, he will reveal to you his plan for your life. And in doing so, you will find peace, because you know you are fulfilling your destiny in Christ, what he has planned for you. And he has a plan to bless you and to love you and to support you. So I would really urge you, if you haven't found peace around you, then first I would suggest that you find peace with God through Jesus Christ. And if you haven't made that commitment to him, please do come and speak to me if you'd like to know more about how to find peace with God. Because I really urge you that if you found peace with God, you'll find fulfillment in your life. Because Jesus is your creator. God is your creator. And he knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. It says in the Gospels that he knows how many hairs are on your head. In my instance, that's not a big count. But he knows that level of detail about us. And yet he still chooses to love us. He still chose to humiliate himself, to come into this world to rescue me, to rescue each one of us. Regardless of what you've done, he stepped out. He took that first step because he loves you and he loves me. Please don't miss on that opportunity to know the peace of Christ as your personal Saviour.